oh, I wasn't there Sunday. What did they speak about? And then you go cold. Think, oh, what did they speak about? I don't know. So I'm going to give you a praise here, what I'm going to speak about, so you can remember. I don't want to take loads and loads of your time this morning. We're getting on a bit. I don't want to be here forever. But in this is what we're going to speak about. In life, stuff happens, whether we like it or not. Okay? In this life, stuff happens, whether we like it or not. Sometimes we deserve it. Sometimes we don't. But God knows all about it. And the thing about it is, what do we do when we get to those crossroads? So that's where, if you don't remember anything else, remember that. Okay. Can we put that scripture back on? Just verse 1 and 2, Jed, if you would. I did give you those because they were big words. It was. Yeah. But in the third year of Jehoiakim, King Nebuchadnezzar came to Judah and besieged it. Now, I wanted to give you a modern day understanding and description of that. So here we go. In the seventh year of Pep Guardiola, Sir Alex Ferguson and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer came to the Etihad from Old Trafford and besieged it and took the last few years of the Premier League titles and took them back to Old Trafford to the temple of his God. I was wondering what sort of a reaction I'd get to that. But that's exactly what's happening. And you see, the thing is, I want you to get your head around it. Now, the reason I showed that clip, there were two phrases on that clip. And this is the first one of them. And Andy nicked my phrase. He nicked it. I was speaking to him about it, and he nicked it. Him. He nicked it. And it's this: anything can happen in the next half hour. Now, I don't want you to get all over it with half hour. But in life, anything can happen when we least expect it. And that's a truth. And here we are in Judah, the Jewish nation, God's chosen people. Okay, God's chosen people. And they, can you imagine what they were like? They were thinking, well, we're God's chosen people. Jerusalem is God's city. There's almost an arrogance. We're all right. We're okay. Nothing can touch us. And here we go. And there's all sorts of stuff. I'd love to expound this, but I haven't got time. But what I want to highlight to you is that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. What are the next four words? Please read them to me, everybody. And the Lord delivered. The Lord delivered. There's a reason why they were going through this. Israel were getting it wrong. They stepped across the line and they did two things. They worshipped lots of idols and they didn't look after the land properly with Sabbaths. And I'm not going into that, I haven't got time. But bottom line is they crossed the line. Okay. And here we are. It's worse than Nebuchadnezzar. It's God that actually made it happen. Now get your head around this. Get your head. It was God actually that said, okay, I'm going to deliver Jerusalem, my people, my city, and I'm going to actually give you a despot king from there, and I'm going to give you all of the stuff that's in my temple, and I want you to take them back to your pagan temple to worship like gods like Bel and Marduk and all that sort of thing. So, false gods, and I'm going to do it. It's me. The Lord is doing it. Now, can you imagine if you were in Israel at that time? I'm confused. I don't know what's happening. What is my God doing? I'm going to look at a little bit in Daniel, a little bit about CAP, and a little bit about the church in two of these areas. And the question is this, and I'm going to read the question around, how can God continue to work his plans when all seems bad or lost or confusing? How can God do that? Where's Mark? Where's Mark? The one who's just interviewed. Yeah. You said something very interesting a minute ago. And is it about your daughter, Hayley? Said she was in not particularly a very good place, but the Lord's got her in exactly the place that she needs to be. I thought, hallelujah. What? I thought, I'll not get up. I'll just leave you to carry on. But that's absolutely true. So you think about it. So here we are. I said about sometimes people deserve it, sometimes people don't. Israel or whatever, Judah deserved it. But here you have Daniel and his three mates who are in the middle of this soup and sort of thinking, well, we didn't deserve this. And they're between a rock and a hard place and they've got some decision making. And that's what you said. There are some decisions that I've got to make. And here we have Daniel and his three mates sort of saying, right, okay. And everybody's laughing at him. They're saying, no, your God is powerless. He's dead. Yahweh is dead. He's gone. I'm trying to skip some stuff because I know it'd keep you forever. So there we have Daniel and his three mates thinking, what do we do? So I'm going to park that for a moment. Tune in next week for an exciting one. But, yeah. But how can you look at that in a cap, sort of? So if I sort of rewrote the verse, on the 11th day of the 10th month, Dave received a letter through his door which says that the mortgage company will foreclose on his mortgage because he's not paid it. There are plenty of scenarios that we as CAP will see week on week on week where people have become in a situation which they probably didn't, some of them didn't expect, some of them did. But anything can happen in the next half hour. I want you to keep that phrase going through this for a little bit. Anything can happen at any time. So we see that all the time. So that's CAP. And we've done a little bit of Daniel. What about the church? What about the church? There was loads and loads of words in the songs that we sung this morning. They was great, that, this morning. I could have picked out loads and loads of them. But what about the people that have asked Jesus into their lives? They are Christians, very similar to Daniel and his mates. And all of a sudden, a circumstance which you didn't deserve and you didn't expect comes and sits at your door. It's happened to probably all of us, and if it hasn't happened to you yet, it will do. One of the things I really, really hate, I talk about the gospel or the good news quite a lot, and one of the things I hate is a sugar-coated gospel. It's terrible. I hate it. Become a Christian today because Jesus will give you joy. Become a Christian today because he will give you peace and grace and that sense of wonderfulness. Now, I can see some of your minds worrying. You're thinking, well, that's true, isn't it? And yeah, it is true. Of course it's true. But it's only half the story. Jesus gives us peace. He gives us joy. He gives us grace to help us cope with the pain. Jesus was not filled full of wonderfulness as he hung on a cross bleeding to death for you and me to have a decision, to have a chance of a decision in this life and the next. It's a balance. It's both and. It's both and. They're only part truths that Jesus will give you joy and peace. Yes, he will. Please don't think I'm not saying he won't do that. Of course he will. But if we just have that half of the story, as soon as we hit the buffers, as soon as the hard stuff starts, oh, if that's what God's like. And it's a choice, isn't it? Those times are crossroads times. Well, if that's what really is God's like, then you can go and do one. Or there's another way. Or there's another way. But the Bible is very clear, isn't it? In this world, you will have trouble. And I know that's only half the verse, by the way, for those scholars around me. I'll come to that in a minute. Okay. So, how can a good and faithful God continue his work out his plans when everything seems bad and lost? There's a question. And that's the question that Daniel and his three mates, all CAP clients and anybody in the church that hits the buffer in difficult circumstances in life will ask. We have asked that question. But here we are. Let's go back to Daniel. We parked Daniel a minute ago. Let's go back to him. Okay, and this is the second phrase from the Stingray clip. It's very tenuous, but here we go. It's a bit of fun. Stand by for action. It was the very first words he was speaking. Stand by for action. Because we have to make decisions. It was great. I'm so glad you said that this morning. It was great. We have to make decisions. And here we are. And the question is this, if you're Daniel and his three mates, we've been overrun, they deserved it, we didn't, we're in this whole soup together. How do I react? What do I do next? What do I do now? What is my forward strategy? And the biggest question, how do I view God in all of this? 5 minutes, we've got 5 more minutes, all right. How do I view, because that question, how do I view God in all this, will determine how we act and where we go and how we get there. How we get there. It can go either way. And it said, on that scripture, it said, and the Lord delivered. And the word Lord in that means, I think it's a Hebrew word called Adonai, which means supreme master, the one who's completely in control. He knows he's in control. Now, I want to give you a precursor to what's going on. There's a guy called Isaiah, and he lived 700 years before Jesus. I have to make this quick because I'm running out of time. So he lived 700 years before Jesus, but he lived a whole chunk of time before Daniel as well. And he spoke to a guy called Hezekiah, king, who was, I think he was Jehoiakim's great-great-grandfather. They were related anyway. It's all we need to know. But my point here is that God knows about it. And this is, I want to read you what was going on before anything that Daniel was happening. And Hezekiah was ill. I think some guys from Babylon came. They were bringing him some grapes or something. I don't know. And what he did when they came to see him, this guy Hezekiah, showed them all of the treasure of Judah. Just showed them all. Shouldn't have done. Arrogance and all the rest of it. But this is the point I want to make is this is what Isaiah said to Hezekiah all those years ago. It says, what did they see in your palace? It said, they saw everything, Hezekiah. I showed them everything. I showed all my royal treasures. Everything. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, and this is the point, listen to this message from the Lord of Heaven's armies. The time is coming when everything in your palace, all the treasure stored up by your ancestors until now, will be carried off into Babylon. Nothing will be left. And some of your very own people will be taken into exile. They will become eunuchs who will serve in the palace of Babylon's king. It's coming. God knew about it. It didn't catch him unawares, is the point I'm trying to make. So when we get to things that really challenge us, and there's lots of things in life that does, and if you don't think so, woe betide us all, because stuff happens. It just does. Life has a habit of turning up when... But God knew about it. God knew about COVID before it started 2 years ago. He knows all about it. He knows what's coming. He knows his time is right. And here we have a situation where he kills about 3 birds with 1 stone here. He sorts out the reason why Israel's doing all the wrong stuff. He keeps his word from all those years ago. And what he's about to do, although they don't know it yet, and they haven't a clue what's going on, they can't see the wood for the trees, I'm gonna let these Daniel and his three mates know why they're there. Okay. So Daniel, very quickly, a couple of minutes. So Daniel, he doesn't understand what's happening, but he understands that God is a supreme master, and I'll just run with the program. Very similar to CAP clients. And that seems, what do you mean? I can look at Lisa, what do you mean? Yeah, you can come with CAP, but you're not to have no more credit. Don't do anything more. Don't take out any more loans. Don't do it. There's a border. There's a parameter. Do not do that. So God knows, Daniel knows God is the supreme master. He's got it all sorted. But I'll do my bit. Okay, he runs with the program. He goes into a Babylonian university. He even takes on a pagan name. So he gets involved with the culture. But he knew where the lines were. And I haven't got time to go on that. I wish I had more time. But this, the fourth thing is he trusted God. And if you hear nothing else this morning, hear that. It's about trust in a God. That's why I was so glad what Mark said about Haley. I don't know why she's there. I know it's tough. But I'm sure that God's got her in the right place. It just made so much sense to me this morning. All right. I'm going to skip on. Philippians 4 says this, all things come together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. In this world you will have trouble. What's the second part of the world where the scripture, anybody? But I have come to overcome the world, or similar. I have come to overcome. So he trusted God. Ran with a strange program. He gained favor. He became one of the most influential. In fact, I'm going to read it if I can find it very quickly. This is taxing me now, but I want to read it. It's really important. He says, I can't find it, so I'll come back. But bottom line is he became the most influential guy in the palace, and he was the most trusted man that Nebuchadnezzar could bring. He was an influence for Yahweh in a despot land, and he didn't realize that all that time when it was, a whole world was collapsing, everything he knew was being stripped away, he was sent to a foreign land. He didn't know that was happening, but he was there for God. In an alien culture, standing up for what God wanted, as well as his mates. Now, if you want to read it, please go into reading Daniel chapter 2, 3. And it's great. It was really good. But I want to finish with this. And it's a throwaway line at the end of chapter 1. It's a throwaway line. And it said, Daniel served under the first year of the reign of King Cyrus. And if you look at that, well, that's not particularly very influencing. Daniel served under four kings. Nebuchadnezzar was the first one. Belshazzar was the second one. Darius was the third one. And Cyrus was the fourth one. Now, the thing about Cyrus, he was a Persian king. Daniel had outlasted the whole of the might of the Babylonian Empire with God at his side. He lasted the whole lot. He went on this great big adventure with God, and he never knew it was going to happen when the whole world of soup was falling around his ears here. And that's the same, going just likening it to camp. I can't remember which one of you or both of you said, well, do you know what? I felt really good when I picked the phone up. You're heroes when you pick the phone up. Because do you know what you're doing? When you pick the phone up and you ring, yeah, you're ringing Kat, but you're saying, do you know what? God help me. I know it's Lisa that helps you, and I know it's the team here that help you, but you're really saying, God help me. And that's exactly what the three lads did, what some of the people do that come to Kat. And do you know what? If we stand by for action, we will be in the right place at the right time, doing the right things, with certainly the right God, but just holding to his coattails when things get a bit rough. There's lots more I'd like to say, but I'm going to stop there. Amen.